Good morning, everyone. It's really good to be with you this morning. I'm going to take some time to give a short reading, and then Deborah is going to bring a sermon. So we're in Luke chapter 18 today, starting at verse 35. As he approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard a crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Then he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who were in front sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, praised God.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. When I was in high school, many, many years ago, the main method of teaching history was for the teacher to sit at his desk at the front and dictate notes to us. That is, he read out the notes in the book in front of him and we would copy them down, writing at great speed to keep up. And every now and then we'd need to give our hands a shake to prevent them cramping up. We would write for the full 40 minutes of the class. I have to say, maybe not the best method of learning. One time we were doing a module on canals in England, all very relevant to a 13-year-old living in Belfast, and we were approaching the end of a long class of dictation. Mr. Best started. Unlike other canals, we wrote, the Manchester Ship Canal contained no water. Most of the class wrote it without flinching. One bright spark spotted the joke that Mr. Best was playing, and slowly we all twigged. We really weren't listening. And I recall a comment from years later about university lectures and how they're conducted, and what a university lecture was the transference of material from the lecturer's notes to the student's notepad without passing through the brain of either. So we reached week 5 of emotionally healthy spirituality, and our topic this week is about listening. Or in particular, incarnational listening. That is, entering fully into the story of another in order to fully listen to them. And we're going to look today at the brief story we heard from Luke about how Jesus restores the sight of a blind beggar. Now, the same story is told in Mark, where we read the beggar's name. He's Bartimaeus. And I plan to have a look at how Jesus listens to others using this story as an example. But of course, there are so many we could choose from his ministry. I look at the skills he used to listen to others in order that we might adopt some of them. And we'll finish by considering, why bother doing this? Why do we do this? Why try and improve our listening skills? What purpose does it serve? At this stage in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is surrounded by a crowd everywhere he goes. Now, it reminds me actually of when our local secondary school children go out to the local chip shop at lunch. Within minutes, they're surrounded by their own flock of seagulls, screeching as they fly around the kids, diving for any scraps of food that are tossed aside or dropped. And I wonder, it was what I see outside my house in any way similar to the scene here. It would have been noisy. The crowd would have wanted something from the one they follow. And it will have been chaotic. It makes bystanders stop look on and think, what on earth is going on there? And actually, I think we all realise that when all around us is noise and mayhem, just how hard is it to turn your attention to one thing, to one person, to the one person who's crying out for attention? But Jesus did it. The 12 apostles rebuke the beggar, try to silence him. It's not worth your time, Jesus. He's just a beggar. But Jesus calls him over. Jesus gives him time. Jesus turns his attention solely to the beggar. How do we give our attention to one person? Now, the last time I preached, I gave the analogy of the Titanic, the calm of the upper decks compared to the frantic chaos on the lower decks. Do you know, we simply can't give our focus solely to, wholly rather, to another while we are churned up inside. How often have you been really nervous attending an event? You're introduced to someone new, you're told their name, only to realise seconds later it has gone right out of your head. It is impossible to fully listen to another when we are worried, when we're concerned about how we're getting on. We can't do it. How about this? At the same event, say, you're nervous about the impression you make. And as someone speaks to you, rather than listening, your mind immediately jumps as to, how might I respond to this? What might I say next? Your mind grapples for something to say, and you eventually maybe get to blurt it out in a gap of conversation, and you realise you haven't really added anything other than derailing a conversation, perhaps. Incarnational listening is about being completely present with someone, allowing them to tell their story without your stuff necessarily getting in the way. It's not about trying to make suggestions about what might help. It's not about judging them or giving examples from your life. It's about calming yourself, settling the chaos within, and allowing the person you're talking to, allowing them space. In another example, and I have to say there's quite a few examples of poor listening in this, but I think all of us have experienced plenty of it. I was interviewed for a position as a physics teacher in a rural Northern Irish school. I was in my mid-20s, and this was my first proper job interview. On arriving, I was horrified to learn that there were going to be 12 to 15 people in a room, in a big circle with a gap for me to join in. I was being interviewed by committee. Now, looking back on the event, it's clear the committee, made up of parents themselves, not necessarily professionals, not one or two teachers, but not all of them. It's clear the committee were nervous of the responsibility that had been placed on them. And each of them had thought up a question for me. And that question was based on what interested them. And so instead of a structured and focused interview where they learned about me, it instead became a series of kind of random big questions, such as, are you willing to move out of Belfast and into the area? How do you feel about the children being kept off school during the potato harvest? How does the new GCSE syllabus compare with the old O and A level courses? The nervous interviewers spat out their questions like rapid gunfire. There were no follow-up questions. There was no time to explore why I gave a response. And at the end, I'm not sure they learned much about me at all. There was no real listening going on. There was no focus. And a series of random fire questions allows for a conversation that is 1 mile wide, but 1 inch deep. It is not an example of incarnational listening. So back to Jericho Road. Amidst the hot, dusty, noisy Jericho Road, Jesus was able to turn his attention fully to the beggar to listen. And Henri Nouwen, a Catholic priest and theologian famous for his pastoral ministry, one of his most famous books is a book called The Wounded Healer, says that in dealing with our woundedness, we can be a source of healing for others. He said that we must first have the courage to be an explorer of himself before we can be of service fully to others. And so to be able to listen to another, to be able to focus on the person across from us, we need at least an awareness of the stuff that lies within us. So we can listen to others by turning our attention, our focus, off ourselves and onto them. So the first point we want to remember is we give a person our focus. And the second thing is we give them time. My daughter Lisa is doing her university degree. She's in her second year and all her lectures, including her lab, are all online. This week she admitted to us that she doesn't watch them live. Instead, she watches them afterwards on double speed. That's certainly true for some lectures, maybe not all. But she has a 1 hour lecture squeezed into half an hour. Now, I have to say at this point, I'm really hoping that that's not an option for the service you're watching at the moment. But I guess many of us spend time with people and would be quite content to speed up time and get through a conversation quicker. And in verse 41 of this passage today, Jesus asks the man, "What do you want me to do for you?" He doesn't assume the beggar wants his sight. He asks an appropriate question and he waits. He allows the beggar time to consider and to answer. My guess is that there may have been a significant silence here, a moment as the beggar realised that this was indeed Jesus, the Son of David, the promised Messiah, talking to us, that he was indeed addressing him, the beggar, and not someone else in the crowd. And then he would have needed to listen and to work out how he was going to answer, how he was going to answer the question Jesus asked for him. Jesus is not fearful of silence in a conversation. He is patient. He waits. And that gave the beggar the time to reflect, to answer as he wants. So he took his time. I wrestle with that. I tend to fill silence with what I think are helpful comments. And I recall hearing Kenny Borthwick, give an example one time of doing that. He said, he shared a story of how he interfered with the work of the Holy Spirit by being fearful of silence and filling it with an empty space. Do not be fearful of silence. There can be times when the Holy Spirit is doing the deepest of works. And when I'm in group settings, I try and recall Kenny's words. I have a privilege of gathering with young adults twice a week, all via Zoom, of course, and we talk about faith and life together. And actually, you know, a silence in a conversation over Zoom is even more painful than in real life. But take courage and allow God to work in the silence, and that can bring forth much fruit. Because the truth is, we need to get out of the way and allow the Spirit to work. John 3 verse 30 says this, "He must become greater, I must become less." John the Baptist says that of himself and of Jesus. And that takes patience and time. My daughter might do her lectures in double speed, but Jesus is never in a rush. In this short story, or in his encounter with the Samaritan woman by the well, or Zacchaeus, or the rich ruler who wanted to know how to inherit eternal life, whatever the story is, Jesus listens with patience and focus. He is never distracted by others. He isn't in a rush. He explores their stories with them. He actively listens. And let's face it, listening is work. Anyone who has a job where they spend time actively listening to another realize the energy required to focus on another person. But actually, more than work, this is holy work. Listening is holy work. Not just when Jesus does it, but when we take the time to listen to somebody. And why do we do this? What is the purpose in making an effort to properly listen to another? As I said earlier, I've given a number of examples of poor listening techniques. I know most of us could come up with things like that. But let's take a pause. What about a good example? Can you think of a time when you were truly listened to, when you felt listened to, when someone gave you their time and attention, their focus? Now, I'm going to give you a minute to think, to reflect on such a time. How did you feel when you were listened to? Maybe there was words or phrases that came to mind. I felt seen. They understood me. I felt cherished, valued, loved even. There is power in hearing another's story. It builds them up. It encourages them. And now who doesn't want to encourage others? It allows them to explore and hear their story, to hear it out loud, maybe even for the first time. And to remind you of Shona's sermon just a couple of weeks ago, you become part of their rope. When the blizzard swirls all around, when there's a whiteout, when it's impossible to see anything, you can become part of the lifeline, the rope, to guide a person back to their house, back to safety. And this is one of the ways we can love our neighbours, our friends, our church family in this season. This listening is holy work. You are being entrusted with something precious, something tender. And when you give someone your attention, as stories are told, masks fall off. The storyteller begins to understand more of themselves in the process. Now you'll on one-to-one encounters, but actually it would be remiss of me to leave it there, because it's not just the individual who has been screaming silently in their heart who yearns to be heard. People groups cry out to be heard. The injustice, the racism faced by people of colour around the world. Is there one particular group whose cry you hear and could respond to? But even broader than that, I believe all creation is groaning right now. We have global warming, extreme weather patterns, floods, wildfires around the world, a virus running out of control. All of these are cries to pay attention to the world we live in. In Genesis 1, God's commission to humanity is to care for creation. And yet by our actions, we are the cause of what has been described as a climate crisis. The United Nations Climate Change Conference, known as COP26, should have finished in Glasgow last week. It's to have been a time of heads of state meeting climate experts, meeting campaigners to tackle head on the issue of climate change. It was to have been a time of hard listening, and it was postponed due to COVID and is now due to take place in the SEC in Glasgow, November 2021 instead. Maybe you have heard creation groan and will step up to play your part in whatever is happening in Glasgow through COP26. Amid all the noise and the bustle, Jesus heard the blind beggar, and he responded by listening and action. He invites us to do the same, whether it's listening to one person, to a people group, or to all of creation. I want to finish this morning with a quote from Mother Teresa. She said this, "The fruit of listening is prayer." Prayer, therefore, is born in listening. And it is the response of our deep listening, listening to ourselves, to others, to the world. And that invite is issued to us. Are we listening? Amen. Let's pray together. Just before we do, I just want to say, you will all be aware that I'm recording this on a Thursday, very aware that come Saturday we will be back in a tier four and a lockdown situation. I just want to encourage you guys, listen to yourselves too, listen to our own stories. God has brought us through this lockdown before and we can do that again. He has us in the palm of his hand. Do you know the longest day of the year, the longest night of the year is only 30 days or so away, and then light will return to our skies. We can do this. Spring is coming. We will get through this winter together by listening and supporting one another and by God's grace and mercy. So hang in there, guys. We can do this. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you that you speak to us. We thank you that you speak to us through your word, through prayers, through people speaking to us, but also through gentle conversations, through people groups and through creation as well. Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us gentle hearts that we might receive the stories of others, that we would have the courage to hold them. And Lord, may we turn those stories into prayers. May we become intercessors for those that we have heard the stories of. And where appropriate, Lord, bring us to action. Give us something to do that we might ease the pain that we hear in the world. We thank you for all that's going on at the moment to encourage and to keep us safe in our homes. We pray for those in the NHS who are working so hard to contain and keep healthy those who have been struck by this virus. Bless the NHS, Lord. Bless them with moments of rest. Restore them. Give them moments of joy in amidst all that they're doing. And for the lonely, Lord, for those who are vulnerable and struggling at home, we pray for peace. We pray for company, online company where appropriate. And we pray, Lord, that they would have the courage to just hang in there, that knowing that we will get through this because you have been with us, we have done it before with you, and we will do it again. Bless you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.